This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Oh dear.
That's right, that's right. It's 6:04 p.m. and that Imperial March you heard is essentially the death sentence to our freedom of speech, because Parliament has passed the anti-fake news bill. They did so yesterday. Yet another piece of legislation that Malaysian citizens can absolutely do without.
Yeah, it was passed by a majority voice vote after a brief debate that was committee stage. I think it's going to now be brought to the Senate before it can be gazetted as law.
Yeah.
123 members voted in favour of the bill, 64 voting against.
Correct. Past parliamentarians actually voted in favour of the bill along with the independent Bandar Tun Razak MP Tan Sri Abdul Khalid Ibrahim, the former Menteri Besar of Selangor.
Yep. So, we were making light of it with the death march and all. But, as a layperson, I think just the implications of just how all-encompassing this is, you know, in the way it's been drafted, defined, and debated, is mind-boggling, to say the least.
Well, I think this, yeah, you're right. I mean, what debate, right, Caroline? Yeah. I mean, that has been, I guess, some of the biggest contention surrounding the bill, apart from the bill itself, right? The fact that something of such import was given so little time and so few voices.
Yeah, like an onion, right? This is really layered. It induces tears.
Oh, look at that. Mm. You were waiting all day to use that one.
I was.
So, I mean, here's the thing. There's been so much debate and conversation outside of Parliament, and that's what's so depressing, right? We've had lots of think pieces, op-eds, Twitter, Facebook. Everyone's been kind of I'm screaming out loud about everything, and not just the layperson, but, you know, constitutional lawyers have been, other politician, opposition MPs, all of these things. And yet, you know, in those hallowed halls that is, Dewan Negara and Dewan Rakyat, nothing. Like, it's been just so much silence. It's just been statements.
Yeah, but this
motherhood
is
statements, you know?
Because make no mistake, right, this is really complex. It's complicated. At this junction, you know, there's been a mountain of research already done on the topic, and this is the world over. And I think, by and large, the general consensus is that the catch-all phrase fake news is nowhere near enough to describe this this conversation that we're having, which actually encompasses the entire information ecosystem, right? Fake news, I
exactly.
guess, is just part of that.
And I think that's the thing that we need to understand. It is an ecosystem, right? There's misinformation, there's disinformation, there's all of these very nuanced ideas which are being, I guess, peddled under this catch-all umbrella of fake news. Mm-hmm. So much so that, like you said, Caroline, everyone makes light of it. It's like, you know, I've sent you silly WhatsApp messages where I'm going, fake news, Caroline. Yeah. I mean, it's a joke more than anything else, and yet we've made it into a law.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as complex as this is, though, having a good grasp of that ecosystem is really important, if we're serious about developing meaningful solutions. And of course, you know, when it comes to assessing the legislation that we currently have in place.
Yes. I mean, when speaking purely from a legislative perspective as well, you know, the idea that there is something else, yet another act that is punitive when it comes to speech is one more thing we don't need. You know, we've got the Printing Presses Act, we've got the Sedition Act, we've got all kinds of laws already in place to punish Malaysians for speaking out.
Yep. And I mean, just, you know, on layperson front, I feel that a lot of us, I mean, I certainly feel this way, that we have a very vague idea of what this actually means, you know, but the search for clarity to understand, what it is really important if we don't want to be saddled with, you know, shallow legislation and even shallow, understanding of how we got here in the first place.
So I've got a ton of questions. I mean, I've only glanced through what was actually debated or passed at Parliament and, you know, who is going to be the decider. Everyone's talking about the courts being empowered to do that, but are the courts actually equipped? Do they have the time and the space to be able to decide, say, a viral video that is doing the rounds on Facebook,
yeah,
right?
The speed at which this thing moves.
Exactly. I mean, that's the other problem. Whenever, you know, a real piece of disinformation or misinformation is out there, it moves at the speed of light, right? And so who will then decide what is fake, what is not, what is malicious, what is not, right?
I imagine that this will, you know, continue to play out, and we're going to we're going to be looking at different interpretations, and that's, I guess, I want to say interesting, but you know.
Over the next month, it's going to be a really particularly interesting time to watch, especially with the election around the corner. We've had assurances from the government saying that the fake news bill will not be used to curb speech during GE14, and I think everyone is going to be watching, not just Malaysians, but the world, right?
So a tweet coming in responding to that at Loco Coco says, you know, it's crazy that the opinion of a white guy in the UK can bring Malaysians of all races together, while the destruction of our democracy and freedom of speech divides opinion.
And that's not surprising at all. You know, chicken rendang is something that we can all talk about. It, it's something so easily accessible. And I mean, I guess that's what we're doing here today. We're talking about this anti-fake news bill because it's so nuanced and complex and requires, I guess, a lot more time and space for us to form our opinions. We know it's wrong. We know it's bad for us. We just, we may have a difficult time voicing out why.
Yeah, well, Loco Coco has a follow-up to that in saying, you know, we've been conditioned to accept things the way they are.
Yeah, and that is the most unfortunate thing of all. We're going to cross over now to constitutional lawyer Niu Sin Yu. Now, Sin Yu, thank you so much for joining us on the Evening Edition. From when the bill was drafted till it was passed yesterday, some changes have been made. Now, one is to lower the prison sentence from 10 years to 6 years, and the other was replacing the word knowingly to maliciously. The message that's being pushed is that these changes somehow make this law better. Now, has it really done that?
Well, the amendments has made it better, but the law, as it is, it's still quite bad. So the amendments, it's akin to putting a bandaid on a bullet wound, you know, as the saying goes. I'm not belittling the problem of fake news, especially in this day and age where anything on the internet is so easily spread, whether true or false. But with the greatest of respect to the minister, the anti-fake news bill does not deal with the problem, because the act seeks to deal with it by the threat of criminal prosecution. This threat has always been there in different forms, and it's contained in different legislation.
Could you perhaps give us an elaboration or some examples where we're seeing this repetition?
Let's take one for example. Which I think is the closest. This is the offence of dissemination of false report under Section 124I of the Penal Code. So Section 124I, it's not too different from this Section 4 of the Anti-Fake News Bill. And it basically makes it an offence if any person, by word of mouth, or by publication, or by electronic means, spread false reports or make false statements that is likely to cause public alarm. And the punishment under this section, it's a term of imprisonment which may extend to 5 years. When you compare it to what the minister has tabled and been passed, it's really not too different. Apart from this 124I, we have a host of other legislations which basically says something similar. You have the offence of criminal defamation in the Penal Code. Under Section 211, you have the infamous Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act, where the offence of improper use of network facilities is there. So these are all existing laws which makes it an offence in a way to create and disseminate false news. Has it worked? I don't think so. And I don't think the government thinks so. Otherwise, why the need for this anti-fake news bill? But the point I'm trying to make is that if making it an offence has not been working, then why create this new law which the thrust of it is pretty much the same?
Exactly. So, Sin Yu, could you talk to us about the burden of proving malice? How does one prove that?
Well, the burden of proving malice would, of course, rest with the prosecution. And in all criminal offences, the standard is beyond reasonable doubt. The problem is that the bill does not provide a definition of what constitutes malice. That's why the offence remains very vague. Even the illustrations shown in Section 4 of the new bill is not helpful. And malice as a word, it doesn't say much. It basically says that it's an intent without justification or excuse to commit a wrongful act. So for me, it's not too different from knowingly. And because it's so vague, it really will be prone to abuse.
You know, we talk about how other countries have also implemented this law, but I guess the key difference here is that those laws target platforms, right, not individuals. So I was just wondering, with G14 coming up, do you have any thoughts, perhaps, on how this law can possibly be used?
I think leading to polling day itself, there will be a lot of information being thrown around, especially on social media. And what this new bill would create is effectively a climate of fear that spreading any information which is partially untrue could constitute an offense. And the problem with that is the public, we may not have perfect knowledge on what we are sharing. And sometimes we could share it out of interest. We do not know whether it's right or it's wrong. Sometimes it could be a joke. Sometimes it could be a satire. And with the enactment of this new bill, if it's enacted and gazetted before G40, we will be afraid to share anything that's on social media because of the threat of a criminal prosecution. So, yes, the government may say that they are not going to abuse this act. But the point is that whenever you share an information or you share an article which you think is interesting, there's this sword hanging over your head. And that, I think, cannot be good for freedom of speech and expression, especially during election times where it's so important for us to be fully informed of the news and any information surrounding the candidates which are contesting in the general election. So it is very problematic in that sense.
So the other statement from yesterday was that this law differs from the ISA in that the court will decide the outcome of these cases. But how will it cope given how they move quite slowly as it is, and this law will possibly inundate them with more work?
It is different from the ISA. ISA deals with threats to national security and public order. The anti-fake news bill, it doesn't clearly state what it deals with. It simply says it's to safeguard the public against the proliferation of fake news whilst ensuring the right to freedom of speech and expression under the Constitution. You're right in saying that the court, they move quite slowly. I think it's much faster now compared to maybe 10 or 15 years ago. But it will inundate the courts with more work. But I think the fact that the bill allows somebody who has been wrong or the government to go to court to get an order to restrain and remove any publication of what's considered fake news, it has always been there. And we know as a matter of fact that litigation takes time. And previously, somebody who has been wrong by way of a false statement, whether malicious or not, they have the right to go to court and file a defamation suit against anyone who has made that publication. And the problem with going to court is that, number one, it's costly, you've got to get lawyers. And number two, it's not effective in the sense that it's not fast enough in obtaining the whatever order that you want from the court. You know how social media works. Something can go viral in a matter of hours. You're not going to get a court order, or you're not going to get a lawyer in hours and to go to court with you if you want to prevent the publication. In other jurisdictions, I think they target the platform. I think in Germany, how it works is that the social media site owners, they have a complaint mechanism. So if they received, I think, a certain amount of complaints, they would have to investigate into whether the information shared is false or true. If it's false, I think they have a duty to remove it. So that could be a more proportionate and a more effective approach.
Thank you very much, Sinyu. That was constitutional lawyer New Sinyu talking about the brand new anti-fake news bill that was just passed in Parliament. Call us on 03-77-10-9000. We want to know, you know, since this bill has been tabled, do you think the government has done a good job in explaining what this law does? Do you understand this fake news bill and how it might affect you? You're listening to the Evening Edition. We've got Kiss coming your way, which Shouted Out Loud on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.